humbly look out for the needs of each other. When someone is weeping, weep. When someone is joyful, be joyful. Respond to one another. And so we turn this into a thesis of how we get saved. And then we sit in rows, and we never look at each other ever in the face ever again. And we stand and do our liturgies, and we sit and kneel, and then we go up for communion, and we close our eyes. And we walk out the door feeling lonely and isolated and disconnected from each other, but very religious. And that's not what Paul wanted. He wanted us to look at in the eyes of each other and notice the brokenness in each other, notice the sin in each other, and forgive one another the sin that we've committed. He wanted us to overcome the differences of style and taste that we inevitably will happen in a group of people such as this, where there's this many people. And this is, can you imagine what it'd be like if we were the only Christians in the whole of Italy? We're it. So if we don't get on, what would happen? So it's a big responsibility that we get on. But what do we do when we don't get on? We move church. Don't we? We move church. Or what do we do when our inner world is exposed to someone else? We hide. So Paul is interested in us being something that hasn't been seen on earth before. A group of people who belong to different tribes, different nations, different tongues, different languages, but becoming united in Christ. He calls it the reconciliation of God. This is God's masterpiece, the church. In Ephesians, have you read Ephesians recently? This is what he imagines. This is what the world will see and go, wow, that's the wisdom of God, that he can bring this disparate group of people together into being one people. So when Jackie, on the weekend, turned the chairs around and made us face one another, she said, there is some values behind this. I'm not doing it because I particularly like a particular chair formation for good or ill. No, what I want us to do is to look at each other in the eyes. I want us to be seen. I don't want anyone to be hidden. I don't want there to be something in the way. I want us to get on with each other. I want us to share with one another. I want someone to share their grief. I want someone to share their joy. And that was enough for me to join the dots between what I was reading in the book and reading in this book. And then thinking about how we do church. And I think I confessed there and then that I think I've done church in the wrong way for too many years. Although, if you go to my old church in Twerton, guess what shape of church it ended up being when we took the pews out? When we took the pews out, we put an arc around it. So it's as if I was intuiting that this was how we should be church. And inevitably, guess what people wanted to do when I put the chairs in an arc? They wanted to correct it, put it back in rows. What if this was the way we did church from now on? Honestly, what if this was the way we did church from now on? In your life groups, what if this was the way we did church from now on? In your small groups, in our staff meetings, what if we did it eye to eye, face to face, rich and poor, slave and free, Jew and Gentile, different kind of person, all in the same room at the same time, exposed to one another? Could we live in such a community? Well, not without Jesus, we couldn't. Not without Jesus, we couldn't. Not without the Spirit binding us together, we couldn't. Not without forgiveness, we couldn't. Not without sincere love. Did you notice how she gave love? She gave love to the whole group, and sometimes she quietened people down. Did you notice that? Because the whole group was important to her, she sometimes quietened people down. Sometimes quite strongly, did you notice that? Everyone was petrified, weren't we? Why was she doing that? Was that because she doesn't like the person? No, she actually wanted, she said to me, she said, you know what it's like, Richard, don't you? When someone goes on and on and on, but no one ever tells them. When they're in a prayer meeting, they pray on and on and on, and no one ever tells them that their prayers are the most boring prayers that there ever are. And no one looks forward to them praying because they go on and on and on. And what happens over time is that that person becomes isolated from the group. No one asks them to pray because they know that as soon as they give them the window of opportunity, they'll take half an hour. That's why not many people ask me to speak either. It's kind of the same thing. Don't laugh. So she learnt that it was better to be kind to the person and to overcome her fear of upsetting someone and to say to someone, actually, do you know what? Your prayers are a bit long. People find them a bit boring. They're beginning to switch off. Have you noticed that their body language changes after the second or third paragraph? Maybe it would be helpful if you didn't do that. Can you imagine the thing that happened after that conversation? The person would feel awkward and difficult, and so would she. Now, do you know how she learned this? She learned this in her first prayer meetings when she was in Hong Kong. She went to every prayer meeting there was in Hong Kong, apparently. And someone came up to her and said, Jackie, do you know, nobody likes it when you pray because you pray too long. So she corrected herself. And she said, and they then started to pray in tongues. She said, the person said to me, I don't like it when you pray out all the time. It's like you're trying to make everything right in your prayers, preaching sermons in your prayers. What I want you to do is, why don't you bring something from God? Why don't you bring one thing from God? She said, but I haven't got one thing from God. Well, go and find one thing from God. So that's what made her pray in tongues. So she would walk around the block for half an hour. That's what she said to us, wasn't it? That kind of honesty, how could we create that kind of honesty? Interesting. So I wonder whether we've been called into a different way of being church. And would you forgive me if tonight doesn't quite go to time? Kind of. I kind of feel like I might be losing the room at this point. But I just wanted to check. I mean, if you do need to go at any point, do go. But maybe it might be worth hanging around just for a bit tonight. A different way of being church. Not events, programs, services, but community, spiritual growth, discipleship, and mission. She started with this first. You remember it right at the beginning of the... She makes things up as she goes. She had an idea, but she kind of makes things... I hope this is... Am I right, Bob and Yvonne? Is she kind of... Yeah, I don't mean she makes it up. What I mean is... She's choosing between the many options that there are available to her to decide which of those many options. She hadn't got a note about the whole thing, but she said, we're going to start with 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26. What then shall we say, brothers or sisters? When you come together, or as she said, whenever you come together, each of you has a hymn, a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Everything must be done so that the church might be built up. This was her key verse, and it kind of ran through the whole event. Every time we meet, there is an opportunity for God to use you. Young people, every time we meet, you have an equal say to the old people sitting over here. Okay? We actually want you to get better at it than them because their time is running out. And you're... I like this. It's healthy competition. I like this. Yeah. But isn't that what we want? I love the fact you're in the middle over here. I love this. But isn't that what we want? We want to see you flourish and grow and blossom. But so often, either you disqualify you or we disqualify you from participating in this thing. That's because you're young at heart, Danielle. Everyone, she was saying, every time. And this is why we had the chairs moved. And this is why she didn't want there to be corners in the room. One of her favorite words, did you notice, was inclusive. I want it to be as inclusive as possible. Which means a low bar for trying, but quite a high bar of accountability. Did you notice that as well? Everyone can try, but not everyone succeeds all the time. Which is good, isn't it? That's how it is. That's how we learn, isn't it? You don't learn to walk getting it right first time. No, everyone learns to try and just do it. But you get helped, don't you, as you grow. So that's what she was doing. She was helping us to walk. She said at one point, she said, Richard, so I'll be looking to you for some words of knowledge sometime in the time. And a prophecy. And I'll ask you to give me one, so just be ready for that. Yes, you've read my mind. It's as if, yeah, I felt insecure and vulnerable and exposed because I'm not used to this thing. What was she doing? She was pulling out of me the possibility that within me I might be able to do this thing. I had disqualified myself from this. I'm not a prophet. It's not my gift. And she was calling it out of me. You could be. So I'm going to pull it out of you. Really interesting. Inclusive, every single... What if every time we met... Think about the three services we hold together. What if every time we met, everyone felt, when they came to St. Mary's, that they could play, that they had an equal right to speak, to be used by God in some way, to pray for someone, to be a minister of the Lord. It's a different kind of way of being church. Every time, she said, every time you meet. Now, you meet in small groups as well as large groups, although what I've noticed is that we're finding it difficult to meet in small groups. Our attendance is lousy. Have you noticed this in our small groups? That silence tells me everything I need to know. There are some groups where attendance is very strong, but the majority of the group's attendance is lousy. And do you know why? It's because it's not alive, is it? It's not powerful enough to get you out. It's not potent enough. It's not rich enough. And that's because maybe every time we're not expecting God to do something every time. It's routine. It's normal. And most people don't speak even. Most people don't even pray. Everyone, every time we meet, small size or big scale. This is a big challenge for us, isn't it? Every gift. Now, did you notice that there are many gifts in the room? We had a cellist, we had a horn player, we had some trumpet, we had David playing the organ. That was a moment, wasn't it? That was good. We had oboe is just the best instrument, isn't it? Linwin plays the oboe. She doesn't know it, but she's coming back. Yeah, she's... Yeah, if you all tell her, the Lord has told me that you need to play the oboe, she'll just think it's the Lord rather than me telling you. But what she did was she brought her friends who can... Now, did you notice how she gave voice to some and then took them down and she put the microphone to the flute at one point? So, and everyone else quietened down. So this wasn't cacophony, wasn't it? It wasn't all at once. And it certainly wasn't showing off. It didn't feel like showing off. Although they were incredibly gifted people, incredibly talented. No, they all humbled themselves to each other. And Ali was modeling this more than anyone. Ali was trying to hold this thing together, and yet she had to kind of rise and fall depending on how everyone else was doing. She was looking all over the place. It was beautiful to watch. It was... I don't know, Tori, whether you said it was perhaps you were telling your mum this afternoon. She said 40 minutes on the phone trying to explain this weekend to her. She said it was just the most beautiful worship music I've heard for years and years and years. Because every gift was welcome. It's very challenging, very beautiful. And also, do you notice that there is natural gifts and then there's supernatural gifts? She used the natural gift of someone playing the oboe, but she then turned it into a supernatural gift. Or she didn't turn it into, you understand, I'm using language badly. She encouraged the person to use their gift supernaturally. Would you pray over this person so that they could be healed? Would you pray over them so that they could meet with God? Would you pray over them so that they could... experience the presence of God over them. Wow. It's really interesting. Another thing that I think I will remember these last few days is that it felt to me like we were spirit dependent. She told me what she thought she was going to do at the beginning of a few things. And then and then something else happened. So we, on the last session, there was a moment when suddenly she started talking about, and maybe it was because David was in the room and David played the organ. And she remembered the story about David's mother talking about her father, about how he'd come to faith right close to her father's death, and how that moved her because she heard several years later that her father had come to faith just a few weeks before he died. And that was David's mum who told her this news. And so she told this story, and then she got us to stand if you had anyone that was on your heart, anyone in your family. And so what was she doing there? I think she was just moving with the spirit of the moment, wasn't she? She was connect and free enough to connect the dots. And I think many of us in the room, as we stood there praying for the loved one that we had on our hearts, our member of our family, praying that they might come to Christ, we'll remember that time for a long time. And in fact, I think it pulled out of us a desire to pray with others more often for the people that aren't yet. And I think there's one or two in the room who are already thinking of, wouldn't it be good to have a prayer meeting regularly, maybe once a month or something, where you just pray for the people like our son or like our daughter or like my father or my mother. And we just got together and pray just for the people who don't know Jesus yet. Does this ring true with anyone else? And so it was spirit dependent. And I wonder how often the services that you've been to in the last year since I've been here, when you describe them as being spirit dependent. Young people, how many of them would you say were spirit dependent? And how many were there just services? You don't have to answer that question. It's okay. But I wonder whether young people might be more interested, and older people, I don't know why I keep going young and old, sorry, whether we all might be more interested in going to gatherings together which were spirit dependent rather than just what we do. So she then talked about this thing about expectation and opportunity. Now, I don't know which of these words of knowledge. And I was asking her, because I noticed that she had a list and she didn't use them all. So I was inquisitive. Why do you not use them all? She said, well, I don't know that they're all equally valid. Well, that makes me think. I don't quite know how you judge that. And to be honest, I don't think I got the answer from her. But what I thought about it was that at least she was responsive and taking ownership and responsibility for the list. And you know, she closed down a few things. Did you notice that she closed down us praying for people with mental health issues? Did you notice that? So there, several times there was something about mental health or emotions, and she closed us down. And she said, the reason, Richard, I did that was because praying for people with mental health issues is more complicated than praying for people with a bad knee. Everyone knows what a bad knee is, and you can pray for it, and you can pray and see whether it's better or not. But praying for someone with mental health issues is much more complicated, and people might make all sorts of mistakes if they pray for people with mental health issues. They might go all over the place, and I can't control that, and they're just learning, they're babies, they don't know what they're doing yet. Well, that made sense. No, it didn't communicate that to the rest of us, did it? She didn't say that out loud, but that's what was going inside her head. But also, I noticed that there was a long list of things. Did you notice in the last evening, there was a long list of things? And I have. And then she said, and if there's anything else, you can pray for that too. So that made me think. It made me think, how does God speak and why does he speak in particular ways? And why does he need a word of knowledge to help us to respond? And then I think that maybe the reason we need words of knowledge, this is maybe just one reason why we need a word of knowledge, is because without words of knowledge, we remain in our flipping seats. I mean, most of us have got something, haven't we? It's just we're not going to reveal it to anyone else, and we're not worthy of someone else's attention. And to be honest, it's a bit awkward and uncomfortable, and I don't really want to do that now, and it's not really my time, and it's not going to work anyway. So we've got 1,000 reasons why it's not going to happen for us, so we don't do it. And then someone says a bad knee, and you go, oh, well, maybe. So here's a few. Now, just before I read them, what happens if we make a mistake? No one dies, which is good, isn't it? Because otherwise we wouldn't do it at all if someone died every time. We'd all be dead by the end of the first evening. But actually, it's really good to try, isn't it? So if I read your thing out, what I'd like you to do, I'm going to read out some things, and I'm going to include. Let me just have a think about this. I'm working this out on the hoof, forgive me. There are some things in the list that I feel like I can't share because they're a bit too personal. I don't know how to handle that yet. What I mean is that it feels like it would be wrong to get someone to expose themselves and say, yes, that's me, because that would make them feel bad. And so I don't quite know the mechanism how to get the word of knowledge to the right person yet. I'll have to work on that. Okay, that's next week. We'll do that next week. So here are a few that I think are a bit less risky. A kidney problem. Anyone? You'd know. It would really encourage the person. If it is you, just wave quickly, because then it would help the person who's...
Because I have a friend whose kidney function is 6%, and funny enough, had a lunch with a mutual friend today, and we were discussing our mutual concern for this.
Well, that's really interesting, isn't it? So I don't know the answer to that, really, but I would say that's an interesting thought. The fact that we don't know the answer to that, let's not worry about it too much right now, but let's take the fact that you have a deep concern for that, and let's connect you with the kidney problem person and get you two to pray together for that thing. Now, that may not be exactly the right thing to do, but it's a start. And I'm flying here, so... we had a couple of people who said pressure in the right ear or deafness in the right ear. Okay, well, that's good. With the two of you, okay, fantastic. Okay, with those who... Would you just go and bless them? And go and pray over there. There was someone said deafness over here. Was it a young person who said deafness? Who else said deafness? Two people said deafness. Yes. Okay. Well. Okay. So there's one. So, and you just go and pray for them quietly. Don't make a big song and dance about it because we haven't got all night. Dizziness, like on a boat. Anyone? Psoriasis. Anyone? Okay, no, that's good. Struggling for breath. Yes, there is psoriasis. Okay, who had psoriasis? I can't remember who it was who said psoriasis. You'd know. Jane. Okay, can I nick you for... That's great, you're doing it at the back. That's really sensitive of you. Anyone want to join Jane to pray for Kate? That'd be lovely. What else have I got here? Fluid retention on the right knee. Is that anyone? Okay. What else have I got here? I don't want to miss any. Okay, the ones that I didn't want to read out were irrational fears that feel like a clamping down on you. And it felt like there was more than one person who feels that an irrational fear is something that you wish, you know, you could think your way out of it, but if only it was like that. An overwhelming fear. And then someone else said anxiety that makes your heart beat. So that could be the same person, but it could be a different person. And then someone else said a more sensitive one, which I didn't want to read out, which was a dripping and a dropping. It could be a bladder issue. So I don't know, what do I do with that? How do you read that one out? And someone else said loneliness. Okay, so that would be a difficult one to admit to, wouldn't it, in a big group, and go, yeah, I'm the lonely one. Now, I don't know what you do with that, but if those are yours, there may be some way that you might want to facilitate getting some prayer for some of those things at some point this evening. Is that okay? Can we move on? This is her standing on a chair, putting her hand on Tori's shoulder because she shouldn't be standing on a chair. And I think there was a tenderness to that, so I took a picture of it. And I think she's a kind person. And I think she wants us to be kind to one another. I think she wants us to be connected, and I think she wanted us to be very authentic with one another, to reveal our vulnerabilities with one another. I've mentioned the active and accountable one. I think she was asking everyone to participate, but there was very high accountability. And I don't think we're used to, I don't know how to do that yet. I don't know how to do that with my staff team when we pay them. I have a right to tell them what to do, but that's hard, isn't it, to keep people accountable. So how do we do that sensitively without crushing each other? That's a difficult thing, but that's something I'd like to learn how to do. And why did she want us to do all of these things? Why was she doing it? Was she doing it so that we might have an experience of something? No, I don't think she was. She wasn't interested in our experience. She was, the whole thing she talked about was equipping the saints for acts of service. I love that picture. Don't you like that picture? You could read all sorts of stories into that picture. I took this on the way to the run this morning. There was nothing in the car park. This must be the only time at Morrison's there was nothing in the car park. But this is our mission field. And I don't think we're equipped. We're not equipped for the mission field. We don't expect God to work a miracle at Morrison's. Not routinely, anyway. And I wonder whether we could become equipped. And so she's talked about us practicing in these places so that we might be more likely to try it outside of these places. Well, that makes church on Sunday a bit more of an interesting place, doesn't it? And this was her phrase she kept using all the time. Why would we do these things? Well, we do it to proclaim the gospel to the ends of the earth. Which is what we would say we're all about, aren't we? St. Mary's is all about proclaiming the gospel to the ends of the earth. But I wonder whether we've even gone to the end of the street. So Bob told me that, he didn't tell me, he asked, does anyone in the room, we were praying beforehand, and he said, does anyone in the room feel that they can't prophesy, they haven't ever prophesied? So that was me. I put my hand up, and Bob looked slightly disappointed, I have to say, that it was me, or at least that's how it felt to me, that I put my hand up. And he was quite encouraging, tried to encourage me, that I think you do, or I think you felt like you wanted to encourage me, and I received that. But I don't think I had a prophecy, or I prophesy very much. But I've been thinking about that. And so this evening, before coming here, I said, God, what would it be that you might, what if I had to put into your words, I had to put into words what it is that I think you might be saying to us as a group of people, what would that be? And this is, can I read it to you? It's a bit longer than the short little prophecy that I was thinking I'd come out with, but forgive me for that. This is what I think God might be saying to us. Ali, where are you? Do you mind playing something over the back? Because whenever the music played over the top of stuff, it always made it sound so much better than when it was just like the words. I don't know. Again, I hope that's not a technique, but it sounds, yeah. But anyway, we'll go with that. I'll just let Ali warm up. Band, why don't you come back and we'll worship a bit more. So this is what I think God might be saying to us. What I want you to do is to test this. You with me on this? I've taken a bit of a risk here. And I'd like you to test it and see whether this is true or not. This is what I think God might be saying. I don't want you to go back. I want you to move forward. I'm inviting you forward. I don't even want you to look back. No, I need you to follow me as I walk ahead of you. I need you to trust me. I need you to obey me simply, bit by bit, one day at a time. I need you to learn some new ways. I want to teach you some new ways. The old ways need to die. I need you to let them go like you would an old coat or some old shoes. They've served you well, but it's time to let them go. They won't be any good for where you are going or where we are going. Leave them behind. I need you to join me in putting things right. I'm inviting you to serve my cause. I want you to bring things back into line. People, families, communities. I need you to be trained and equipped. I need you to be resilient and resourceful. I need you to be creative and adventurous. I need your loyalty and your dedication. I need your absolute allegiance. I need you to live in the present tense, not in the past or in the future. I'm going to train you to rely on me for your daily bread and to pray for it daily. I want you to learn that every day, every moment, every conversation is a kingdom moment. I'm going to teach you what it means to be dependent, to trust. I want to teach you about what it means to live as an authentic community. I want you to learn how to be family. You will feel the pain of vulnerability and the awkwardness of difference. The pain of past relationships will only be healed through relationship. You will need to move forward, not back, not away, towards each other. Do not hide from each other. Do not return to your place of regret. Do not let regret and disappointment shape your future. Do not let it make you cynical. It will rob you of your future. It will prevent me from using you in the way I've planned for you. It's a block to your growth. I need you to trust me, to become open, flexible, and malleable. I have your best at heart, your very best. I only want good things for you. But I'm going to teach you how to become responsive to me, how to hear my voice, how to discern what my good and perfect will is. You're going to have to trust me with everything. Let yourselves go. Trust that I have good things for you. This is my gift to you, unmerited and undeserved, a life of joy, but it will demand everything. So that's what I thought maybe God might be saying to us, and I'll find out a way of printing it out so you can read it and mull on it. And I'd like you to test that and see whether that's true or what's true about it, because it may not be all true, but it may be some part true. It's 8 o'clock. We normally finish at 8, but it feels that we could maybe finish by worshipping together. And if you need to go, please do go. But if you want to stay for a bit more worship, why don't we do that?